Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome to Cavs the Podcast, and I'm Nate Smith, and I'm here with Evil Genius and David Wood, and that
and
was
Drake. Drake's here with us.
Yeah, Drake is here wearing his mopey face, and outside the studio, Kendrick Perkins is waiting for him.
Windhorse was on the Van Pelt show right after the game and said that Drake was pretty much just on his phone for the entire second half. Probably fending off tweets from people taking shots at him.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of, so going through that game, I had a really good feeling in the first half because the Cavs were right there and LeBron was hardly expending any energy. Like, he was not even guarding anybody half the time on defense. Yeah. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, it was, he was really coasting along.
He was, but they didn't. I felt like Toronto just came out with absolutely no sense of urgency. Like, they were walking through it like it was a regular season game.
What, in the second half or
no, in the first, well, from the start.
Well, yeah, Toronto, maybe. Toronto got, I had it written down, but 8 of their first 10 points were from just transition. They were running the ball. They were trying to get at us.
Well, they didn't have the Jonas explosion like they did last game.
Yeah. And a lot of that was because Kevin Love, like, was so much better.
Yeah.
Well, he just
after he missed those first couple of shots, then all of a sudden the switch flipped.
And, well, here's what happened. They didn't give up on going to him.
Yeah. If anything, they doubled down the same way that Ty Lue doubled down on going to starting him at the five in the first place. They just kept force feeding him the ball, and then it finally clicked and started hitting shots.
Hey, you know what? Ty Lue looks like a genius after this game. So,
well, let's not go too far.
Ty Lue looks like a competent NBA head coach. And so I just kind of felt like Toronto just wasn't prepared at all to come in and play that game. Like, they just had no sense of urgency. Like, we were talking about, me and my buddy Eric were talking about a lot, like Indiana played just as hard as they could the entire series, and I just never got that vibe from Toronto that whole game. Do you not agree? Or
I don't necessarily agree in the first half. I mean, look, they had a 10-point lead at one point, 12-point lead at one point. I mean, it wasn't like they were laying down. I mean, Lowry was super aggressive early, and then he got into foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And DeRozan wasn't as aggressive, but no, I felt like they, like, no one plays with the intensity of Indiana or that we've seen thus far. I mean, even in the other series that are going on, I haven't seen anybody play that sort of, you know, just not desperate, but just wall to wall, all out basketball all the way through. Not only a game, but a series like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I tell you what, Indiana impressed the heck out of me.
Well,
like,
yeah.
I feel like Indiana is a much better team than this team we just watched.
But, I mean, look, this team, after the game, there was a stat that said that the Raptors shot, what, 50, 40, and 90, right? And teams that this year that had done that were, like, something like 45 and 6. Like, it's not like they played a bad game. At least offensively, they didn't play a bad game. But their defense, they don't have anybody that can really guard LeBron normally. And then when he's on like this, I don't know if anybody could guard him, because he was hitting that turnaround shot. Like, it was like having a game with himself to see how high and how far from the basket he could turn around and shoot it as the game went along. It turned out pretty much like ridiculous. Unlimited, right? So, but that's the problem, is that they're putting a rookie in OG Anunoby. I don't know, is he a rookie this year, or did you just miss all of last year with the knee?
No, I think he's a rookie this year. He got injured last year in college and came back early.
Okay. Right. But still, everyone's talking about OG Anunoby going into the series as sort of the great Toronto hope, the most recent one after, you know, PJ Tucker last year and the original Predator, what's his name?
Damari Carroll.
Damari Carroll, the year before that. But no one can really stop him. They don't have anybody that they can put on him. They can't put DeRozan on him because DeRozan's not good enough defensively.
And they rely on him so much for offense.
Yeah.
Anunoby and Siakam do a decent job on LeBron, but the Raptors this game they kept getting like CJ Miles and DeMar DeRozan switched on LeBron, which he's going to score every single time.
Or on Kevin Love. Like, the Cavs were just abusing CJ Miles.
Yeah, CJ Miles lost them this game, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, their coach lost them this game by playing him so much. But that third quarter was basically all the points were scored against him.
But the other guy they abused defensively was DeMar DeRozan, because they kept getting DeRozan on switches and abusing him too. Because DeRozan was minus 22 on the game.
And I didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean, they were getting Kevin Love on DeRozan, they were getting LeBron on DeRozan in the first half.
DeRozan is not a good defensive player.
He's not a terrible defensive player, but yeah, I mean, he's not... He is average at best.
No, but you can't ask him to cover.
Oh, right, to stop the best player in the universe.
What is he, 6'4", 6'5"? Like, you can't ask him to stop LeBron.
He's 6'7".
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Let me see what the NBA lists him as.
They list him at 6'7". He doesn't look that tall.
He's 6'7" in shoes.
Maybe. with the hair.
Yeah. And it was so funny because, they... And that is why, I mean, NBA is so much about matchups, and this team just matches up terribly with the Cavs. First of all, Serge Ibaka is awful. He was terrible that game.
Yeah.
He just does nothing. And then, remember when he was like a block machine?
Yeah.
And just now, he's just, I feel like he's the king of the sign and retire.
He only played 12 minutes tonight. And he was terrible in those 12 minutes. I mean, he had 6 rebounds, but they were talking. I think Lowe and Windhorst and McMenamin were talking about this on the Low Post yesterday. That for Toronto to have a chance, Ibaka has to show up.
Yeah,
and he has not showed up at all these first two games.
Yeah, and Valanciunas has shown up. I mean, they're basically were running their offense around Valanciunas in the first quarter and a half.
And you can do that.
Like,
and
okay,
you can,
we're going to live with that.
And you can do that when you're up. When you're down when you're down 10, you can't run the offense through Valanciunas.
Yeah, and did you kind of notice that when they got way down, they just started three-hunting?
Well, they did for a little while, and then I think they realized that that was not going to help, and so then they went to the DeRozan, like, ISO James Harden game, and he just wasn't getting the calls that he normally gets in the regular season. And... You know, they were trading. He and LeBron were trading buckets, which you're at that point they were down like 18. So you're just not going to come back doing that.
Yeah, and I mean, credit the way the Cavs started the game too, just force feeding Kevin Love to get him going.
Yeah,
and creating a lot of switches and then just exploiting those switches, and that like just not trying to make him score against. Valanciunas just, you know, taking advantage of the way that Toronto defends and then just using that. And
well, he was cut to the hoop more than I've seen him all playoffs in this game. Like in that first half, it was just nonstop. He was just coming off the three, cutting. LeBron was finding him. I mean, he even had a dunk, which, I mean, you never see Kevin Love get dunks. So,
yeah.
I mean, but as good as Love was, you know, the guy who actually really impressed me. almost as much was George Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Man, he looked different tonight.
The George Hill blowbacks were awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
was... and I love the selective running.
Yeah.
What I mean, you saying, David?
The George Hill was blown by dudes. Like, yeah. For the first time as
like
a Cavalier.
Even Hubie Brown noticed.
Yeah.
He looked like the fastest player on the court, like, the first 10 minutes of the game.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Kyle Lowry looks like he's 50.
Dude, he's tubby.
He got fat again.
Yeah, nobody will mention this.
Yeah, exactly. He's like...
Yeah,
he grew his hair.
He went to the Ray Felton Weight Loss Center.
Yeah,
I mean, he was hitting some threes tonight early on, Lowry. But man, he really got the fouls got in his head, and he that third one that where he took or the fourth one maybe when he got called for the charge.
That was against Love in the third, bro.
Yeah, which was I gotta be honest. Like that was a 50-50 call. Like that could have gone the other way very easily, but.
The Cavs got a lot of calls in the first half, I thought.
There was some bizarre one, I think, at the end of the second.
Yeah, the 3-point play for George Hill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was the weirdest continuation. I had no idea what was going on because I didn't have the sound on for a second.
So he got fouled before the shot clock went off, and then the continuation continued after the shot clock.
Yeah. Which and doesn't seem like that should be a thing, but it was.
But I guess that's how continuation works in the NBA, I'm assuming.
Who knows? Continuation is like right up there with clear path fouls. Like, who knows what really
matters. Well, that and, you know, you had Hubie Brown who, like, didn't even realize when teams were in the bonus half the game. It was like, is Love shooting this or taking it on the sideline? I'm like, I'm screaming at the TV. They're in the bonus. It doesn't matter.
Hubie Brown doesn't realize he's alive half the time.
Yeah, this was a good Hubie game. He wasn't talking the whole time. Usually it's like a nonstop, like, Hubie pulled the string doll.
I thought it was hilarious because he actually called Serge Ibaka Chewbacca early on.
Really?
Yeah. I thought I misheard it, but I went back and looked at it on the DVR at the timeout, and it was he called him Chewbacca.
That's awesome. Well, my favorite was in the first half when he was like, "The Raptors are playing great.
Yeah,
Cleveland is just okay." And I was like, and so like me and my buddy Eric were just like, Cleveland is not worthy to lick the boot of this team. You
know? I don't think he was meant it that way, though. Like, I honestly, when he said it, I think he meant Toronto's playing great, the Cavs are playing okay. The part that he didn't say that I think he meant to was, and it's still, like, a 3-point game.
Yeah.
Like, that was the point of it. But I don't know. Now all I can think of whenever Ibaka misses a shot is like,
which I'm excited for that movie. I hope it's good.
I think it'll be better than. I mean, the hype has been so low key on it, and people's when people are saying like, oh, you know, if you didn't like, you know, it may not be what you expect or whatever. I just kind of want to see Donald Glover as Lando, and I'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, I kind of feel like this is right in... as I'm talking, they've got all the stars of Inside the NBA in the Millennium Falcon. So, screenshot on the TV. But anyway, I kind of feel like this is right in Ron Howard's wheelhouse. Like, he's really good at a straightforward movie. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And
without subtlety. I kinda feel,
and they're gonna do. It's gonna be a space caper film.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is just. He's gonna have no problem with that. You know.
Yeah. No. For
sure. As long as they've got the actors to pull it off. So.
Dude, the first side movie was awesome.
The what?
The first Star Wars like side plot movie was really good.
Oh yeah, Rogue One. Yeah,
that was a great
Rogue
movie.
One was 100 times better than The Last Jedi. So
that's
I think what was great about it though was that we didn't know those characters. Like it was all new people that you know that you could kind of get to know, and that's part of expanding the universe that makes sense.
Yeah, and it was just a really good story and really tight and kind of well done, and the writing was really tight, like, and there was good humor in it without it being overly, you know, overly involved, I guess, is the way I'd put it.
You could take, like, a partner there that doesn't know Star Wars, and they actually enjoyed it. That was
great. Mm-hmm.
Which hopefully
my daughter, my 8-year-old, loved it. So
how are we talking about Star Wars when the Cavs played a great game tonight?
I don't know.
We need to save that for the end.
Yeah, we do. But right, hey, this quarter is a free-flowing conversation.
I know.
But
I know.
Yeah, LeBron, 43 points, 14 assists. Like, he was just, in the first half, he wasn't even trying on offense. That's the amazing thing about those 43 points. Like, I got to look it up by half, but I felt like most of them were in the second half.
Yeah, I think he only had
27 in the second half. So yeah. 16 in the first half.
Well, let's go to the second quarter. What was the deal with Hood and Clarkson coming in? Like, the 4-minute.
You mean why did they?
Yeah, why did they get to play basketball? Like, in the NBA?
I don't
still?
Know.
Because at this point, Jetty and Zizic have to be better than those two.
Well, I get the. Here's the thing about Jordan Clarkson. The Cavs have to have a secondary ball handler at some point.
But he sucks.
Yeah, but at least he can bring the ball up the court.
Yeah, but like, so can J.R. Smith. Like,
yeah, J.R.
J.R. Smith cannot bring the ball up the court.
He did it a couple of times tonight.
Yeah, but he can't do it, like, if he's in and they know that he's going to be the guy bringing it up, the defense is going to key on him and take the ball away.
Well, they only turned it over 3 times tonight, and they tied a record from, like, 1984. Fewest amount of turnovers in a playoff
game.
They
were ridiculous.
And what about Jose? He's still on the team.
He can't guard anybody.
He didn't even play in garbage time.
Yeah, but he can get the ball up court. At least he's not going to chuck the ball like Clarkson. Like, Clarkson.
I'll agree.
Yeah, Clarkson and Hood blew. Like, LeBron had to start doing LeBron stuff in the second quarter way sooner than necessary because Clarkson and Hood don't know how to play basketball.
Hood is one of the worst players I've ever seen.
Hood dribbles how I dribble. Like, when I have a chance to get a shot, he gets super excited, and he's just dribbling really high, and he's just stoked that he might be able to make a basket. It's an awful, awful recipe for success.
I just say the playoffs are a different animal, and these guys are showing they just aren't, you know, it's the
quite
moment's
ready.
A little
and,
bit
and
too big
what
for
what about
them.
With Nance, just no minutes, I guess.
Well, Ty did say he was gonna go with either him or Thompson as the kind of the backup big, right? So he's going with
Thompson.
I guess
that's the way it's gonna roll.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Nance is a really dumb defender sometimes.
He picks up so many stupid fouls, like cheap fouls.
He leaves his feet
way too easy.
Every time, yeah.
But part of that is coaching. Like, you would think the coach... Well, here... And I kind of... I don't know if you heard on the podcast of a couple weeks ago or maybe a week ago, but I... Like, Nance always jumps too soon. Like, even on layups, he tries to take up, like, a foot from the free throw line instead of just one more dribble, and then he's got so many more options.
Yeah.
You know? Well, yeah, and on rebounds, too, he tries to reach for rebounds then instead of moving his feet and going straight up. And like you were saying, he just bites on everything.
Yeah, he would definitely not. He would definitely be owing a lot of money in the DeMar DeRozan fall for the pump fake $100 challenge.
Yeah. And, you know, Tristan Thompson, not a huge game tonight. Not that they needed him.
He's plus 7, though. I mean, he was defensive out when he was out there. He was. You know what he did tonight that I noticed? I mean, that he does typically, even when he's not doing anything else on the stat sheet. He set a lot of really good.
Yeah, he's setting better screens than
to get LeBron open, to get Kevin open. Like he did a nice job there.
Yeah, and they do a good job. Like, I think that's one thing he's figured out. If he's going to be out there, he has to set screens because people just don't care about guarding him.
Yeah.
So there, and it actually helps a little because defenders play so far off him that it's like, okay, if I'm going to go up and set a screen on the perimeter, it's actually going to get a guy open and have some space to move because my man is so far back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because nobody worries about Tristan Thompson picking and popping.
No.
Yeah, nor should they. He did have a nice field goal. You know, I feel like his finishing has gotten a lot cleaner. Like, he's been working on his moves around the basket a little bit.
Well, he's had plenty of time to practice.
It looks hideous, but it has gotten better.
Yeah, and everybody not, you know, their rotation, nobody had a bad game in their rotation. No. I mean,
and really, Love just had a transcendent game when it came to, I mean, he had more points in the first half than he'd had in any game in the playoffs this year. And then the 31 points he scored tonight were more than the last three games combined.
Yeah, and I feel like part of it was there was a conscious effort, like, we are going to run plays for Kevin Love over and over and over and Kevin, they got him in a rhythm.
I don't even feel like they were force-feeding him at a certain point. Like, yeah, he had 31 points, but it wasn't like they weren't just giving him the ball to score.
Yeah.
For the most, it came within the rhythm of the game, at least.
Well, one of the things that they talked about is he was running the pin down for Kyle Korver, and so they would switch, and the big would pop out on Korver, and then Kevin Love would have a wing on him, and they would just throw it to him in the post. Yeah. And so, like, they're using Korver's gravity and how big of a game he had in game one to get Kevin Love going. You know, and, you know, J.R. Smith, another really nice game, 15 points, plus 19, you know, 5 of 8 from the field. And three
he had
three
a couple of those weird scoop shots, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, he had the one where he missed it, and then he got lucky. Yeah,
home rebound.
Yeah, and he bounced it off the front of the rim. Although, I feel like Toronto got so many bounces in the first half, too. Like,
they had two lucky threes.
Like, not even toilet bowl, just, like, bouncing 8 feet up.
Yeah, they had that one that Lowry hit that literally hit, like, every part of the rim before it went in.
Their very first shot, I
think. And they had at least three or four, though. The two of them were threes and another couple of twos. But Cavs got a nice boost from... They got good Jeff Green tonight for second straight game.
They got great Jeff Green. Jeff Green was stepping into threes and draining them.
I know.
Yeah. I can't watch it. I cover my eyes every time.
It drives me crazy.
You
got to
keep covering your eyes or he's going to start missing.
He's open for a reason. It drives me nuts.
But he's 4-6
David,
tonight.
He did 4-6.
I know, but it's the principle of it. Like, he should not shoot any threes. It's so annoying.
If he's making them...
Yeah.
If he's making them...
If
the Cavs are showing anything, is that regular season statistics do not matter with this team.
It seems every single game I recap, Jeff Green hits like a ton of threes, is over 50%. I'm like, he shouldn't be taking the shots, and then people just turn on me.
He's like, Dennis Schroeder.
No, he's open for a reason, and it looks horrible every time.
Yeah, he does kind of flare that elbow out, and although I will give Jeff Green his props, he's become a machine at the line.
Yeah.
Although
he missed both tonight.
Oh, of two of tonight. Yeah. Right, exactly.
He was 7 of 8 last night, though.
Well, and then the funny thing is how good was LeBron last series at the free throw line, and now he's like 50% again. Like, why did he change his stroke again?
No, it's the lane violation. They got him.
Yeah, well, no, I saw that.
But that was at the end. I mean, he was already like 1 for 6 or something like that when that happened.
Yeah. And here's the thing. If you're going to do that, just take a step back, you know.
Yeah.
You should just shoot a jump shot.
Yeah. But I felt like the Cavs were running just a lot more purposeful offense.
Well, they were smartly taking advantage of matchups of
and the switching, yeah.
Well, yeah, because as soon as they took Valanciunas out, they put C.J. Miles in, and they had C.J. Miles trying to guard Kevin Love, and that's not going to work. And Kevin did what a big is supposed to do, which is take advantage of the smaller player guarding you and drive inside, lay it in, and draw the foul.
The craziest thing is the Kez didn't even resort to, like, guys actually cutting to the hoop yet. Like,
Early, they did.
Well, watching the game, the very first play, Kyle Korver got to the hoop from cutting to the hoop. But that backdoor. Yeah, they went away from it, and that's going to be there. Like, the next game, that's definitely going to be there. The Raptors are definitely scared of them shooting threes.
Yeah. Well, Love had a few. Love had that one dunk, and he had a couple where LeBron just made a nice pass and got it to him. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, they could keep doing that in the second half. It was there. It's just LeBron was putting on his Jordan clinic with his step back, fade away. Let me see how high I can arc this rainbow.
The one I love is he bounces it to himself real high on the dribble, and then like
Siakam one
turns around, grabs it, and throws it up in the air. Yeah, Pascal Siakam was so funny trying to guard Kevin Love. Did you see him that one where he picked him up?
Yeah.
And they didn't even call a foul. And even Hubie Brown, noted Cavs hater, was like, you've got to call that. You know, it's like, you can't just let him horse Kevin Love around the basket. Yeah, it was, I mean, I just felt like Toronto just almost like waved the white flag at the end. And even, did you guys notice how bad the crowd was?
Well, they were
like, even in the first half.
Yeah, well, can you blame them? I mean,
no.
They've got like PTSD.
The crowd quieters whenever LeBron hits like a 17-foot turnaround jumper like twice in a row. You know the Cavs aren't losing.
Yeah. But even in the first half, I felt like the Toronto crowd had no faith in them. Like, even the big guy on the sideline with the turban that's always on the sideline for those Toronto games was like, had no emotion. Yeah, I just felt like the whole team had no emotion.
Well, they may not get another chance to root for them. I don't think they will.
Well, I think everyone, they got out to like a fake lead in the first, so they never really got any momentum. The Cavs were just kind of making poor...
And I didn't feel like it was a real lead because I didn't feel like the Cavs were playing all that hard.
No, it was all transition. It was all points that came like early in the shot clock or were fast break points.
Right. Right. And the funny thing is the Cavs just turned it over so little they weren't going to get those.
Yeah.
Very much. I mean...
Yeah, the Raptors were... They were trying to run so hard and the Cavs didn't give them any opportunities early on.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, even though the Raptors had a decent shooting night, I feel like a lot of that is fake news because their Cavs were up so much that the Raptors got a lot of easy shots in the late third and early fourth when the Cavs were just kind of screwing around.
I mean, I don't know what they finished with, but I'm pretty sure they shot over 50% the first half.
Oh, yeah, the Cavs were almost 60% from the field. And then the Raptors were like 53. Yeah, let me pull that up. The Raptors were... Yeah, that's not right. Hold on. I know the Raptors were over 50% from the field. Yeah, they're 54, 40% from the line, 91% from three.
Yeah.
Or from the free throw line.
50-49?
I mean, it's just... Yeah, it was... But the Cavs were 60-42... 74. So,
do you think the Cavs defense was actually bad or?
No, I don't think. I think it was good in spots when it needed to be, but they didn't have to be especially good tonight defensively.
There were a couple times where I thought they made some really good kind of rotations, but there were other times when, like, early on when Lowry was kind of getting into the paint a lot, that they just wouldn't stop the ball.
Well, also
to kind of get easy buckets.
Also, Korver's gotten a little lax with his closeouts. I've watched him watching the ball a little too much, and then he winds up having to run out on a guy. So they hit a couple.
And
I think Van Vliet hit one or two with him guarding.
He hit two in a row with Korver on him. Yeah. I was saying before. Yeah. I said in the preview or whatever, they should throw Korver on like Ibaka. Or just someone where he doesn't have to worry about crashing down.
Yeah.
Because, like, Ananobi's too quick for him, and he was getting the easy buckets in Lowry.
Yeah, but Ananobi, I feel like I don't... Like, you saw that one where he beat everyone and then just threw the ball off the backboard.
Yeah.
Like, that had no chance of going in.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Boston has taken the lead in the third quarter.
Somebody really on the Boston. thread... yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just
saying that. Here's one thing I feel like. Yeah, me too. But I feel like the Cavs have already played the best team in the East and beaten them.
Indy?
Like, yeah. Like, I watch these two teams, Boston and Philly, and then I watch Toronto. I don't think any of those teams are better than Philly right now.
Indy, you mean?
Or than Indy. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
I mean, Philly could be, but I think people underestimate just how the level of inexperience on that team. I mean, you got J.J. Redick, who's a guy who's been to the playoffs a bunch, and you've got the two Euro guys, but, you know, this is the first time for any of the rest of them, and...
Yeah, well, the other thing is, I mean, you look at how well Bellinelli played in the regular season. Teams in the playoffs are just going to abuse Bellinelli the same way LeBron abused C.J. Miles tonight.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah. Also... All I have to do is look at that last game in the regular season the Cavs played against the Sixers.
Yeah.
When they were down, what were they down, 30 points? 35 points? And they came something back like and almost beat them at the end? Like,
yeah, like a missed LeBron free throw from getting to overtime.
Yeah, I'm just saying, Philly is not, they have a lot of talent, but they're not a team that has a winning mentality yet. I mean, at least
right.
in the playoff.
The other problem that Philly has... is it is really hard, in my opinion, to close games late when your point guard is not a good free throw shooter.
Yep.
And Ben Simmons is not just not a good one, he's an actively bad free throw shooter.
Yeah.
And it gets hard to close games, and they're not going to be able to just force the ball to J.J. Redick in late situations.
Yeah. Well, Simmons not having a good game tonight so far.
Yeah. And I feel like, yeah, Simmons is one of those guys who's probably going to have to get some
moves.
Playoff pressure and kind of
get a shot, get some actual, like, you know, turnaround moves.
I mean, the scary part is they might figure it out.
I don't think they're going to do it this year. I think Boston's going to take this game they're playing now. So...
Yeah, Boston probably will. There's not that much time. Well, there's 20 minutes left, but...
Yeah. Boston's up.
That's just who Boston is. I mean, they're a very good defensive team with just enough offense to prevail. And, you know.
Well, yeah, and they may be scary in future years as Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum mature... But I don't think this is the year. And Al Horford, I don't think anybody in Cleveland is scared of Al Horford.
No. Certainly not Tristan Thompson.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've kind of... We welcome Al Horford.
No,
we consider Al Horford an old friend. Yeah, I mean, I don't really feel like there's any one guy that can on Boston that can take over that series.
But just... I still have a hard time... reconcile not because they should beat the Cavs, just with Toronto, just how good they were in the regular season. I mean, they were a top five team. They were the only other team besides Houston that were top five on both offense and defense, and yet they're an easier, way easier out than Indy was, which just blows my mind. But they played
in the
really good
season.
They played really good defense. Like they figured out, and maybe it's just Nate McMillan's a really good coach and deserves all the coach of the year votes that he gets this year because he designed a defense to basically say, okay, LeBron, you can get 40, but we're going to shut everyone else down.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, I mean, Indy was a really good team after the All-Star break. I think they had the third or fourth best record in the NBA after the All-Star break. So it wasn't like the series came out of nowhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like Indy has a lot of really good players at every position. And not just good players, but smart players. Like, you know, Thaddeus Young, really smart role player. You know, Oladipo, obviously incredibly gifted physically, and just did so many things mentally that were really impressive. And then, you know, Collison's kind of a perfect guy to pair him with because they basically run a two combo guard offense. And then, you know, you've got their centers. Miles Turner is a good defensive center. I kind of feel like he's maybe regressed a little bit, but then Sabonis is just a really good bench big.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like that whole team came from out of nowhere. And then plus Bogdanovich is a pretty smart player too.
Well, he had a terrible game seven though.
He did, and they left him. I think Terry Pluto called Bogdanovich the sacrificial lamb against LeBron.
Yeah.
It just, like, that was the guy who was going to guard LeBron one-on-one, and, you know, they were going to live with the results, and you felt for the guy, but yeah, I mean, he's a smart player, but he's a streaky shooter more than he is a knockdown shooter.
Yeah. Well, honestly, it's become fun to watch this team again, this series.
Yeah.
I mean, as difficult as it was to watch them at times in the Pacers series, because it was the missed shots were brutal.
It was a grind.
Well, the missed shots were brutal. The turnovers were brutal.
The rotations were brutal.
Some of the, I mean, just, it was just a grinded out, like, very, I mean, it was an amazing series, but not in any sort of cosmetic way. Whereas this one, yeah, we're starting to see the Cavs be the Cavs again. They're,
yeah,
they look like a team that won 50 games and
was one of the best offensive teams in the league.
Yeah. And knows how to put the ball in the hoop and, you know, sacrifice a little bit on the defensive end for that, because Toronto's just, frankly, a better offensive team than Indiana was, but
yeah,
they're certainly nowhere close to being a similar defensive team.
Well, the other thing I think, you know, knock on wood, I feel like the Cavs are getting healthy too.
Yeah.
Like, Kevin Love looked more comfortable tonight than he has since he hurt his thumb.
Yeah.
Tristan Thompson, game one, looked like the Tristan Thompson from, you know, last three playoffs.
Yeah. Well, and George Hill looked healthy tonight.
And George Hill looked healthy. yeah, he still doesn't trust his three-point shot. And probably, you know, with the back issue, that's probably the hardest one to get yourself into. But he was attacking the basket relentlessly. And, yeah, because those guys have to stay at home on everybody else.
Yeah. Well, at least gives you a semblance of a dimension that Kyrie gave them last year, which is somebody who can get to the rim aside from LeBron and finish. And now I thought Clarkson might be that, but he's just unfortunately not stepped up.
So you watch Clarkson a lot in L.A. Is the Clarkson we're seeing now, is he just in his own head too much? He doesn't know what's going on. Is he?
No,
he just seems like a bonehead.
I think it's the pressure. I think it's the, when it's a big difference.
He's not used to it.
Well, it's a big difference when you have no low expectation Laker team where you're running the second unit against, you know, teams that don't really care, and you're putting up, you know, 14 to 16 points a night and looking to distribute to people. And it's another thing when you're playing, what, like, he played 14 minutes tonight, but four of those were in garbage time. So,
yeah,
you know, I will give him credit. He played some good defense tonight, I felt like. He was on ball defense, at least.
I felt like his defense has not been bad the whole playoffs, and that's why he's getting spot minutes from...
Because he's at least young, and he'll hustle and try to stay.
And he's got length.
Yeah.
Like, he can guard probably three positions. So, I mean, maybe not small forward well, but he can at least guard both guard spots.
Right.
Yeah, especially on the ball.
Well, and that's a good reason to have him out there for spot minutes. But that's the other thing, too. Like, when he's playing for the Lakers, he was getting 25, 30 minutes a game as the backup point guard. A six-man scorer off the bench, and, you know, when you're coming in for 5 minutes here and there, you know, to start the second and fourth quarters.
Yeah, you can't get a rhythm.
Yeah, and he's a rhythm guy. And you could see once the pressure was off, his shot looked better, and he drained a couple, including a three.
The other thing with the Lakers, he's been playing with a lot of those guys 2 or 3 years. And he's comfortable with those guys. It's very clear he doesn't know where his teammates are all the time. The only guy he seems to know where he is Larry Nance. Like, how many times have we watched him just miss a wide open Kevin Love or Kyle Korver?
Yeah. And you're right. Like, he probably needs an off season. He probably needs a training camp. Yeah. He probably needs a full year with this team to figure out the tendencies. But we've talked about it before. He wasn't there. He isn't here. He's not the brightest bulb in the on in the shed. So yeah.
He's like me playing Madden. I know where I'm passing as soon as I pick the play.
I still think his shooting will wind up making a difference in a playoff game this year. I mean,
I was happy to see him. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it almost was that night he scored 12. What was that? Was that game two against Indiana?
Well, oh yeah, no, you recapped that game. I remember, David, because there was the one. There was the one that was so funny because he, like, dribbled around, flubbed it to himself, ran back and got it behind the line and threw it up and it went in. I was like, that is the worst possession ever that you could score 3 points on. Like, but yeah, it's like you said, it went in.
Wow, Celtics pulling away now. They're up eight.
Yeah, they're up eight. Tatum with a big dunk.
I'm still trying to decide if I'd prefer the inexperience of the Sixers or the less star power of the Celtics. I think they'll give them a tougher series than Philly would.
I don't know.
Look at what's happening. We're talking about the same teams, right? Like we're talking about the Celtics who are possibly going to go up 2-0 on the Sixers, right? Like, we get it, David. I mean, you just trust the process.
In the NBA, there's generally a lag between, you know, when you are ascending, you know, the mountain and when people are going to recognize it. Like, LeBron was probably the best player in the league as early as 2005, and he didn't really get kind of universally recognized that way until, I don't know, 2009. Maybe not even then, because he hadn't won a championship yet. So it's not necessarily fair, but with the upstart 76ers, I mean, if they lose this series to the Celtics, who have literally, like, their team is just completely in shambles, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to call them a regular season team until they... I mean, look at the Raptors, right? I mean, what is this, back-to-back 60-win seasons? And here's the other thing. I think all of us need to pat ourselves on the back for all of the comments about how Indiana might be our toughest opponent. And then after we survived Indiana, a lot of us were saying, like, even if they're a better team, there's no way the Raptors are going to play this physical. And I'm watching the highlights tonight, and Windhurst tweeted about it. It's like, it just was different. It was like watching the Cavs play in a swimming pool against Indiana and all the grabbing and pulling and tugging and watching against the Raptors.
No, just like a pool of
they're getting
pool
the
full
spacing
of mud.
They need. Guys are, and from what I saw, Toronto was content to play man-on-man defense, and Love completely wrecked CJ Miles and whatever other, you know, small guys they were putting on him in the post. And I mean, like, I think the Cavs win this game no matter what, but LeBron, like, dancing on their souls in the second half was... I mean, I've never seen anything. Well, I'm just going to jump away from the defender as far as I can while I'm turning, and doesn't matter which way I'm leaning, and I'm just throwing this up in the air, and they were all going in. Like, this will happen again, I guess, in the future, because LeBron can make this shot now. But tonight, man, was like lightning in a bottle. I mean, I've never seen that many of those shots.
In a row, too.
You know my theory about why Toronto
is such a bad... girlfriend talked smack to LeBron back in 2005,
like,
and they've been
never gonna do
dying ever
since. No, 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 no. It's because they have so many players with stupid names.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs Podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers.